If it applies what we have just sung, then we can be grateful. And it does apply. We just have to recognize our fortune. We must understand that from God's side, really, everything was done. God cannot do more than He did. He did everything. On the cross, our Lord cried out, "It is finished." More was not possible. The letter of requirement is torn. Sin is forgiven. All damage was made well. Now it only depends on us, whether we receive it thankfully. And then also what we do with it, that we protect it, keep it, what God has given us, that we live it out and that we can pass it on. Right, we as children of God must be vigilant and be attentive, for the enemy wants to harm us. Us he wants to stop. He even wants that we become a curse to one another. But God wants to bless, so that we can be a blessing. There it is necessary to have thoughts and words under control. Just as we read it some time ago, that the whole body, every member of the body, is struck by the light of God and thus is submitted to the Word of God. Only then, if we have submitted to God, then the enemy with his power will submit to us. For he has absolutely no respect for us. But before God, he must have respect. And if we have submitted to God, then the enemy of necessity has also to submit to us. And that's why the Lord already said then, "I give you power over all the power of the enemy." Why could he say this? Because he conquered and defeated all the power of the enemy. By this he gave us power over the enemy who is already defeated. Also this I have said here before. At such gatherings we all have to pay attention. The enemy, in every way, he will try to disturb the atmosphere. Please, let us be on the watch that he does not succeed to do something in us or through us. After all, we are here to meet the Lord, to have an experience with God, and I'm sure that we will still have some very mighty hours. However, it is not just about teaching. It is about that each one finds his place in the kingdom of God, taking his position in Christ and recognizes what we have become by his grace. We mainly speak about the message of the end time. But this may not just be a doctrine or a teaching. It must become a reality. Also here, we must be aware of that God pursues a meaning and purpose with what he has done. And so, may the days which lay ahead of us serve for the purpose that we get deeper into that what God has prepared for us. Let us come now to our strange word observation this morning. You all know, we shall let the word of Christ dwell richly in us. And this we also want to do. Firstly, I read, can you hear me properly? I'm under the impression the amplifier doesn't work. Firstly, I read from Jeremiah, chapter 31, from verse 33, a word which Brother Kupfer read last night. Jeremiah 31, from verse 33. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts, and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. A wonderful word that became true when God in Christ made the new covenant. He wanted to be our God, and He became our God. He has always been God, but now He wanted to become our God, my God, your God. You know the difference. Everyone speaks of God, but this personal relationship God established with us in Christ, because He personally became man in Christ. And it is about this personal relationship with God which we as sons and daughters of God received. A son does not need to establish his relationship to his father. It is there from the very beginning, through the birth. It is there. In the same way, our relationship to our Heavenly Father must be there if we have been born of God. Then there is only the need of a spark that strikes the germ of the word which was laid into us, so that new life can come forth. And when this happens, in that moment, we also can cry out, Our Father, not just Father, but Our Father, my Father. The personal relationship to God was established, because God has personally revealed Himself in the shape of a man as Savior. And thus we were made sons and daughters of God. And so not one needs to teach the other one about it. God has given us the teaching in advance. And then through the covenant which He has made, He let become true what He promised. Today, I would like to read a number of scriptures to show us how differently, also in the Bible, certain terms are said, and then showing us how they can be placed correctly by God's grace and help, and how they also must be placed. I begin with 2 Peter chapter 3. And for those who wait in particular that we answer certain questions concerning the message, you also will still come to your right. But firstly, we want to have our word observation, and then we come to the message for our time. We will have questions and answers about everything what is of significance. 2 Peter chapter 3, here we read from verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, has written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable wrest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. What a wonderful word of admonition. The apostles were also shepherds, and as shepherds, they had the welfare of the church on their hearts. There is no man of God who was placed into the kingdom of God with a ministry, who is not concerned, who has not a worry or a trouble on his heart for the overall church. In another place, Peter writes that we shall not rule, but serve with a gift that God has given us. This all the man of God did, and thereby it can be seen whether a man was sent from God or not. In the days of Solomon, actually, this divine love by an earthly example was shown very openly. There two women claimed one child. Both said, "The child is mine." And then Solomon was called. He should speak the verdict to which woman the child should be given. You all know the story. He sits down and says, "Bring me a sword." Nice jurisdiction. "Bring me a sword." And then he said, "Now I will divide this child in two and give to every woman a half of it." And the woman who was the mother, she cried out, "No, don't do it. Give the woman the child. Don't divide it." And it was easy for Solomon. And he could say, "This is the mother." This woman with a cry of her heart, who didn't want that the child is divided. She is the mother. The other said, "Divided." The matter was settled. Today there are many who want to divide. They always want to split. Always split. Who always want to divide. Always split. And these are the ones who had no birth pains, who were later on added, who set themselves in a well-feathered nest and later on make it dirty. Men of God, who were ordained to carry the divine seed, so that children of God are being born like the dew from the dawn. They don't come to divide, to split. They come to build up. They come to bring together, to comfort, and so forth. But now we come to a very difficult part. To a very difficult part. We will contrast some things with one another. We start with Luke 2, with a well-known word that was emphasized in the last days in a special way. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Here it says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." First of all, the word peace. Later on, we will still speak about the other terms. But here it's about peace. Whoever reads this word, he could have the impression from that moment on, there would be no war anymore. All things would be all right again. Everywhere, joy and peace in all the countries on earth. For thus it is written, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I read from Revelation chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 6, verse 3 and 4. "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, 'Come and see.' And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword." Both is written in the Bible. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And likewise it is written that peace was taken from the earth and that the people would kill one another. The unbeliever reads the Bible and goes nuts and asks himself, "My goodness, what shall this be? What is this?" So we must distinguish what kind of peace it is. About earthly peace or about divine peace? About peace which is in the heart or peace that is just declared? I read on purpose a large number of such scriptures that seem to contradict each other, just to show us that we must be spiritually minded to be able to place everything divinely. Therefore, Paul writes, "The natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit. They are foolishness to him. To him everything seems to be full of contradictions. And at the end he says, this is a paradox. What shall I do with it? The spiritually minded has then the grace from God to place, to recognize of what does it speak here and of what is it about there. Everything at its time, everything at its place. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, the well-known word is written of the announcement of our Lord when he would become man. Isaiah chapter 9, here it is written in verse 6, of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. To me, it is especially about the first part of the increase of his government and peace. There shall be no end upon the throne of David. You see what it is about here. The throne of David, this we mentioned already yesterday, is the king's throne. When the Lord, as son of David, will commence the millennial reign, then most certainly there will be peace all over the earth. What did we say here recently? In many Old Testament prophecies, the first and the second coming of Christ, and that what is happening in connection with it, it is spoken of in one breath. So it must be discerned of what it is about, and we have to recognize in which time that what we read belongs. If we have counted with that already at the first coming of Christ, peace would be on earth and lamb and lion would feed with one another, then we didn't place the thing correctly. Let us read again from Luke 2. Luke chapter 2, from the prayer of Zacharias. Luke chapter 2, from verse 79. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. We could look up many scriptures in which it is written of the peace which God made with us. It is about the covenant of peace that God made with us. And it starts with the inner peace, with the peace of the soul in you and in me. Before then, peace can be all over the earth. We read on from Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9, verse 26. Here again, a statement is made that seems to be in contradiction to the announcement of peace. Daniel 9, verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. The announcement was peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Of the peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David. Here it says, and unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And then we come to the word that Paul has written in 1 Thessalonians 5, well known to all of us. We don't need to read verse 2 and 3. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them. Let us take the words of Jesus from Matthew 24. There shall be wars and rumors of wars, famines, and so forth. We see that it must be placed correctly. Jesus brought peace to those who are nigh and to them who are afar off. Peace with God. Not earthly peace. Also this comes, but it's not here yet. The epoch of the millennial reign is still before us, but we live in the time period in which we found peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we can sing, when peace like a river attendeth my way, then my heart rejoices. So we distinguish between the earthy and the spiritual realm, the human from the divine, and we see clearly where the one and the other scripture belongs. We will still come to other things that will be much more difficult. Let us read Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Here we read from verse 51. Luke chapter 12 from verse 51. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. What shall this be? For this the Lord does not need to come. There is enough division without him. Also without him. For this he truly doesn't need to come. But here it is written like this. Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two, and two against three. The father shall be divided against the son, and the son against the father, and the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and goes on like this. In the prophet Micah, in chapter 7, everything foretold. How shall we place this now? Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. He is our peace. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And the Prince of Peace says, don't think that I have come to bring peace, but rather division. How does this chord arise? When are two against three or three against two? when two choose the Lord and three don't. Right? Then it starts already. Then there is a theater in the house. If the whole house is saved, blessed is the house. But this is not always the case. So, it can happen that some get saved in the house and others not. It happens over and again. Brothers, yes, that's right. And what is then? Then the house blessing is gone. Then there is no understanding for each other. Then one lives apart from one another. And then it gets so far that one is a stranger to one another. And one can look at the other and could ask himself the question, do we actually belong together? Are we a family? Earthy speaking, yes. But now two or three, to remain with this example, spiritually two or three dropped out of this earthy family and have been placed and set into the divine family. And already some don't understand it. Those who remained unbelieving say, do you have to go to the service? Is this so important? You can also serve God here. You all know the arguments. And already one brings the other. Division is in the house, which the Lord caused. But this division only came about because some were there who have dedicated their life to the Lord. A division was made, a separation. Some follow the Lord, the others don't. And so, there is no common way anymore. It is written in the prophet Amos, chapter 3. How can two walk together unless they agree? One has to agree. But that, what is not yet today, this can be already tomorrow. But we can discern very well and know how we have to place these words. It is correct that the Lord came to bring peace. Peace to them who would come to the cross, where God made peace with mankind. There is no false peace for believers. There is only the genuine peace with God. And the genuine peace with God was called into existence there where the enmity was abolished and where the middle wall of partition was taken away. There, God has made peace with us. A person who received this divine peace in himself, on him it is fulfilled, and peace on earth to the people of God's well-pleasing. That's how the correct translation actually says it. Not just general and peace on earth and goodwill towards men. They don't care about peace of God nor about God's well-pleasing. And peace on earth to the people of God's well-pleasing. Hallelujah. That's the great mystery. The people in whom God is well-pleased, they have peace with God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us go quickly to another subject, perhaps in the same direction, but another aspect. Micah chapter 4. You all know we live in a time where in all the world the slogan is published, swords into plowshares. You all know this term. One can hear it in East and West all over the world. Now I read you from the Bible two contradictions with which unbelievers won't be able to cope. Micah chapter 4, verse 3. Here it says, "And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks." Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Here it is mainly about that we see the connection. Then, when is this then? You can read it in the first verses to which time this word refers. This time is not here yet. I tell you just now in which time we live. Let us look up Joel chapter 3, and then we will see in what time we live now. Joel chapter 3, you all know, one of the most powerful words of God is here in Joel. Here it speaks of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many things are dealt with here. Joel chapter 3, verse 10. Here it says, "Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Let the weak say, I am strong." Let us don't read further. You all know the connections. Here it says, "Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears." The prophet Micah says exactly the opposite, right? 100% the opposite. What is correct now? Both. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Both is right. Everything is right. Every word of God is the absolute truth. But now the placing. Now the placing. So, whoever reads Joel chapter 3, he sees that it is about the day of the Lord that will break forth upon the whole earth, a day as it was not here before. He sees that it will be about the last battle, about the decisive battle. In this context, you can read with me Joel chapter 3. We read from verse 11. "Assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about. Thither cause thy mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened, and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about." I don't want to read on, for if I would read further, the next verse, then I should come straight to Revelation 14. And here are a number of scriptures. Here, "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe." Read Revelation 14. There is written exactly the same. Perhaps I should do it, so that you know that it is precisely written. Revelation chapter 14. Here it is written in verse 16. You can also read 14, 15. I read verse 16. "And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped." This is then quite late. You can read how it goes on later on. Perhaps you can read it and see it the best in verse 19. Revelation 14, verse 19, for there it speaks of, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the wine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. There are two harvests. There is a harvest of the wheat that is taken up into the heavenly garner, and then there is a harvest of them who rejected God, a judgment that will come upon all nations. You see the context. We come back to Joel 3 in connection with the sixth seal, very clear in verse 15. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. The Lord also shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. And the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. This is the day on which God will fight for Israel. We could go here to Ezekiel 38 and include many other scriptures. To me, it was just about to emphasize some things to show us how difficult it is for the people when they read the Word of God to place the things correctly. Do we then marvel if they read the same Bible as we read it and don't recognize the day and the time in which we live? Not the messenger, not the message, not the promises, not that what God promised. Why? Simply because it is not given to them to get a spiritual insight into the Word and to rightly divide the Word, bringing everything into the right context, into the right time period. He who, for instance, reads the Gospels must also distinguish what is for Israel, what is for the church, of what is it about here or there. When the Lord says, pray that your flight does not fall on a Sabbath or in winter time, then I have nothing to do with that. This was fulfilled 70 after Christ, when Titus destroyed the city, and Josephus, one of the history writers of that time, he has set forth in his writings that not one of the true believers was left behind in Jerusalem. For the Lord said, when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then flee to the mountains. And this they did. They obeyed the voice of the Lord. Not one true believer perished when the city was destroyed. There were people who recognized on the basis of things that happened around them what time it was. And they didn't return into their houses to fetch their belongings, but they went on their way. Now it is the same. Who is informed about the divine things, about that what is going on? Only people who heard the prophetic message of this time. You probably don't always agree with it, but it is still written. The word of prophecy shines as a bright light in a dark place. It's not the word of an evangelist who preaches today. Namely, the one evangelist says this, the other evangelist says that, and the third comes with a totally different interpretation, and the fourth nixes everything and brings his own. That's not what it is about. Also not about own prophecies. It is about the word of prophecy. Many operated the gift of prophecy and still operated today. and spurn the word of prophecy that is being fulfilled before our eyes. Today we are in a prophetic age. Today it's not about the patchwork of your and my prophecy. Today it's about the perfect prophecy of the Word of God, namely about the word of prophecy. I met already many, and I may include myself here, who got into big trouble by prophecies which came through people who had to go through a terrible time in spirit, soul and body. But I never met one who was harmed by hearing the word of prophecy. Just the contrary, they have been helped by God. And therefore we lay great weight on the word of prophecy. And if you read in Revelation 19, there it's written of the spirit of prophecy and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. The spirit, not the gift of prophecy. The spirit of prophecy. This is a big difference. We come out from the patchwork into the perfection. Even in the ministry of Brother Branham, we notice, we feel how it went from clarity to clarity, from knowledge to knowledge, from illumination to illumination. Also, he could only bring the things as they were shown and revealed to him by God. You all know, also therein, God took precautions on which a person would not have thought. What did I know of a plan of salvation? What did I know in 1955 of all that what is going on today? What could I know at that time? What could I know in 1958 when I suddenly, on a Wednesday, went to these two brothers, to Leo and Jean, and said, I see that between Branham and all the other evangelists is a big difference. Can you send me his sermons? That's how it started. Who took the precautions? Who has laid the decision suddenly into the heart? Why did I have to say it? Since that time, I received all the sermons. I was allowed to grow with it. I didn't jump into something. I just went in the kingdom of God, spiritually with it, growing with it. 3 to 4 weeks after the sermon was preached there, it landed up here in Krefeld. And I didn't listen to it once, I listened to it many times. And here we come to a point which I want to touch upon briefly. Many of them who pretend to preach the message of the hour would in my presence, in my physical presence, they would not preach what they preach. I know two things too well, the Bible and the sermons of Brother Branham. How many things are attributed to Brother Branham? So many interpretations which have nothing to do with Branham. And the audience is listening nicely when it's being said there, this is something which Brother Frank didn't publish yet. And this draws then, oh, this is such a bait. You can imagine, make up a thing mysteriously, wrap it in nicely with gift wrap paper, and then you can sell it well. There are many babblers and swindlers who have not heard anything of a divine calling and responsibility, let alone having received one. But it just has to be this way, because it's part of the end time. I believe that God has given us grace, and this not of us, but because he watches over his word and also over his people who received his word. Therefore, he doesn't let us fall from one error into the other error, but leads also us from clarity to clarity. But also this will always apply, that people who leave the straight way, they walk on the way of Balaam. There is no other way left for them. And then some things come up in them, and then they manifest their actual nature, which they previously kept hidden. Let us come back to this word, or to these two scriptures. In the one is written, beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. And then the last battle is described to us. The battle of Armageddon, in the valley of Megiddo, in the valley of Jehoshaphat, through which we drove a couple of times. There, the last battle of decision will be. When this is then over, and the Lord returns to establish the millennial reign, then all the equipment of war can nicely be beaten back so that it can be worked again in the vineyard. Everything at its time, in the right context. Also here, we could go to Isaiah 65 and many other scriptures to show us how it will be done. One thought I want to still emphasize here from Micah chapter 4, verse 3, and then read it again from the New Testament, as we did it already last night. Micah 4, verse 3. And he shall judge among many people. Now I read Matthew. Please look it up with me. Matthew 25, verse 31. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another. You see how precise the words fit to one another? I still read you from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 2, so that you know that it belongs there. Isaiah, chapter 2, here it's written in a similar way, as we just read it, namely, from verse 4. Isaiah 2, from verse 4. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. If we now also consider when these prophets lived, the one, Isaiah for instance, 810 years before the coming of Christ, and the others at totally different times, and they, by the Holy Spirit, they wrote down in divine harmony what was given to them by divine inspiration. If somebody today is inspired by the same Spirit of God, then he will establish the same harmony in the Word. For there is no contradiction. It cannot exist. Outwardly, it may seem like it, but in fact, it cannot be. But when you then read in Isaiah 2, verse 2, there it speaks of the end time. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and so forth. And it says, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. What is it? It shows us here already the transition into the millennial reign. Who would like that we still make two or three comparisons that are on a totally different level? Look up with me. John 17. We have to make use of the time to look at as much of God's word as possible, with the one thought that we are helped to understand God's word in the various connections better. John 17:21, well known to all of us, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. About the unity, much is spoken all over, but there are two unities, a divine and one which is not divine, a unity with and through and under Christ as the head of the church, and then there is a unity under the Antichrist. At the end, there will only be two things, spiritually speaking. It says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me. When can we be one with Christ? Jesus, in the shape of a man, as Son of Man, he said, as thou, Father, art in me. Because God, in this case, as Father was in the Son, there was a total unity. If the Son is in you and in me, then this unity is brought back again to God. God in Christ, Christ in us, and the unity has become perfect. Not a unity under some kind of spiritual head, but what does Paul write to the Galatians in the first letter? Because it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, Christ in us, the hope of glory. There's only one connection with God, and this is through Christ, in Christ, with you, with me, with all of us. In a club, people can unify. There, the regulations are put in writing, the statutes are all there, and then everybody says yes, but it doesn't work like this here. There must be a spiritual unity. Of the first believers, it says, they were one heart and one soul. They were in one accord, one courage, one spirit, one mind, one purpose, one church, one truth, one love, everything coming from God, manifested in the church, because Christ took dwelling by the Spirit in the hearts of the individuals. So, unity among the believers with Jesus Christ. Christ in you, Christ in me, you and I having the connection to Him, one with His Word, one with one another, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Not do you see it this way or do you see it that way, but do you see it as God sees it through Jesus Christ our Lord? How often are still brothers who go around and say, do you see it this way? Stop your seeing. He who has become seeing, let him thank God and walk his way. We time and again emphasized it. We are being taught by God through the Word and Spirit. But now we come concerning the unity again to a special word in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. Here it says from verse 52, Luke chapter 12, from verse 52, the one part we read already, Luke 12, 52 and 53. Read these verses again and then compare it with the peace and with the being one. The Lord has come to bring peace. To whom? To him who receives it, who believes it, who lets himself be taken out. And such a person will have peace in his heart. This we also read here in Luke chapter 12, namely verse 51. Do not think that I have come to bring peace. We emphasized it. Both runs parallel. The one is being fulfilled in the divine seed, in the children of God, who suddenly become a foreign body in the family, in the society, in the country. No matter where we might be on earth, in the moment where following Jesus became serious, we have to take up our cross and follow him. There will be no appreciation on earth. I can read it to you from the Gospel of John, chapter 17. For here the Lord says of us as his own, that we are not of this world, just as he was not of this world. I read from John 17, from verse 6. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Here it speaks of the name and of the word. If the name in whom God revealed himself was made known to us, then we will also hear his word, not only with the ears, but with the heart. Actually, I look for the place where it is written, ye are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Verse 11. Then we read verse 11. John 17, verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 15 is suggested. Yes, we could read the whole chapter. Let us read verse 14 and 15. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So, he was not of this world, and we are also not of this world. We are in this world. He was also in this world, but not of this world. People who are born of God, their citizenship is in heaven. We have here some kind of passport, some ID card. This deals only with our earthly nationality. Our citizenship is in heaven. God called out a multitude from all peoples, tongues, and nations. We have to come to terms with it, that the world doesn't want to have us, that it expels us, that we are misconceived. Is this so? We have to come to terms with it. Blessed is he who then not even complains about it, but who says, Lord, it is nice like this, for thereby I know that I'm loosened from this earth, that my roots were plucked out, that I'm born again, and that I would like to go home. Our home is there on high. Abraham was looking for the city to come. He dwelt in tents. And do you know what he said? I look for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And Paul writes in Galatians 4, the Jerusalem above is our mother. There we belong. We are born from above. Depending on the translation, it says in John 3, he who is born again, or who is born from above. Born again means to be born again by the Spirit and the Word. Let us thank the Lord with all our hearts, knowing that we as believers fulfill the commandment of the Lord by that we love one another, namely with a divine love that was manifested on the cross of Calvary. Many people speak of the love of God, and they don't know what they talk about. With them, the love goes so far as one walks on their way. And in the moment where probably a little difference of opinion comes up, there the love ends. And that's not how it works. The love of God is unlimited, and it was manifested on Calvary. For God so much loved the world. This is the practiced, the proved love of God, manifested in reconciliation, redemption, forgiveness, grace, salvation, and everything what goes with it. If we are part of the redeemed, then there is reconciliation. There is forgiveness for you and for me and for one another. It's a divine matter of course. Whoever has still a hard time to forgive someone, let him ask himself whether his forgiveness was revealed to him by God, or whether he believes one day and tomorrow no more, on and off. Today, yes, tomorrow, no. Next week, in doubts, and then yes again, and then again, no. Shall I still remind on 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20 and 21? All promises of God are in Christ, yes and amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 19, God was in Christ and reconciled the world with himself. Colossians 1, he is our reconciliation. He is our peace. He is our salvation. He is all in all. Let us receive it once for all as a perfect gift from God. And let us no longer doubt it. And then we can also put in practice John 13. John 13, 34 and 35. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. May it be a divine love which overcomes everything, that endures everything. We know that it's not easy. Sometimes we have to stand trials, things that go totally against the grain. But let us esteem the grace of God higher than everything else, holding to the bond of peace. One has to hold fast to it. One needs to have the will for it. There are two kinds of talents. Some have a direct talent to have with one sentence started a quarrel. With one single sentence it could have happened. And the others have the talent to make well again with one sentence what has happened. People of peace are led by God in peace. And he who is led in peace does not get upset. And he who is not getting upset, he doesn't speak rash. He who remains calm, he has still time to think before he says something. Even time to estimate what the said things may cause. So, let us ask God that we remain calm and in peace, because the wrath of man does not do what is right before God. Just a bit being upset and already one can feel sorry for what we have said. So, in peace, being led by the Spirit of God, and maybe think twice before one speaks. This I say to myself, just like to all of us. God will give grace that we serve the Lord with words and with works, and become a blessing to each other, and thus keeping the unity in the Spirit by the bond of peace. Sometimes it's little things that have a great effect, and here may God give us grace to be on his side and to really be a peacemaker. For thus it is written, he united both in one and made one new man as a peacemaker. The new man in you and in me can be nothing else than that what he is who has begotten us. And he who is born of God must have the nature of Christ. And when he has it, it will be manifest. May the Lord succeed by his grace. Do we have the will for it? Do we want that it happens? Because we have to want to. And God gives the willing. He gives the longing, and then he lets us know, I prepared everything already. Come and take from my fullness, grace for grace. God bless us all. Amen.